going to continue the second in our series on identity crisis. The title of this week's message is Being Mugged by the Mirror. So I ask you, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Beautiful? Handsome? Do you worry about what others are going to see? Does that thought go through your mind? Do you wonder, what will they think? Do you see someone made in the image of God who is quite enough already and doesn't need improving? Depending on what you see, you may have had your identity mugged by the mirror. All our culture is consumed with what we look like. TV shows like Extreme Makeover and Biggest Loser were mega hits because for 1 hour we could see what we might become like. This year we celebrate the 60th anniversary of a cultural icon. Do you know what it is? Barbie. Barbie turned 60 today. It is in this month, I believe. We were taught in my generation that you needed to look like Barbie or Ken. Analysts have gotten together and figured out that if you were to look like Barbie, you would need to be 7 feet tall and weigh a little over 100 pounds. Michelle Graham writes, Barbie has become an inspiration to all girls. People bought into the Barbie craze, and she goes on to say, when I was a young girl, I needed to make sure that my Barbie was the prettiest Barbie of all the Barbies on the block. When I became an adult, this is her still speaking, when I became adult, I left my Barbie behind, but I struggled for years with my own self-image and the fact that I was not perfect. You see, Barbie moved out and Victoria's Secret moved in. She continues, there's nothing like a glance at Victoria's Secret to evoke feelings of insecurity. A survey reported that 70% of all women felt depressed and upset after looking at a fashion magazine for 3 minutes. I dare for you to walk down the aisle of any store, Dillon's, Walmart, it doesn't matter where it goes, the checkout line, they have all those magazines. And do your eyes not rivet to that one that says, oh, you'd lose 28 pounds before summer? You too could be wearing this skinny jeans or this bikini. They know it. That's why they put it there. They have us convinced, and the image goes on, and we get hooked. $20 billion is spent a year on cosmetics, over $20 billion. I think that's just in my wife's cabinet, but I'm in trouble today, I can tell you that right now. Where are you, dear? I'm praying. $2 billion will be spent on hair products. Some of them are as phony could be. When I was a youth minister, the very first paid position I had was in St. Helens, Oregon. And I lived with a family, and the man's name was Carl Brandenfell. And if you Google Carl Brandenfell, you will find that he's passed away, but you will find that he was a tremendous inventor. And one of the things that he invented was an elixir to grow hair. And Carl was as bald as a billiard ball. True fact. $74 billion on diet foods. Billions more spent on cosmetic surgery, with an alarming rate being for men. You see, we need to be comfortable in our own skin. Who are we? We need to know who we are and not try to be someone else. The average woman in America today is 5'3" and 152 pounds. The average boy, if you could read my notes, I have a typographical mistake here. Mine says the average model is 9'9". No. It's 5'9" and 108 pounds. People get paid big bucks to make other people look good. They use duct tape in strategic places to make them look really good. We do everything to cover up what we hold as a 2-liter and hope that it'll come out as a 6-pack abs. There are so many phony photos and Photoshop stuff, we don't even know what the real really looks like. This past week, I looked at a video. You know, they say when you the camera makes you look 15 pounds heavier. This past week, I looked at a video of the skit that we did last week. And I thought, wow, that camera does make me look 15 pounds heavier. And then I thought, no, Bob, you really are fat. It's just the reality of you really are fat. It didn't put 15 pounds on you. Now, I want to say something about that skit. And I know you enjoyed the skit, and we enjoyed the skit. We really did enjoy the skit. But if the only thing you remember about last week is that skit, then I failed. Because the sermon was not about the skit. The skit was to help us identify the problem. That is that our mothers are overwhelmed. You see, the video, yeah, they do say the camera makes you look 15 pounds heavier. But I know what reality is. And honestly, I'm not okay with my weight, but I'm okay with who I am. You see, all of this stuff that I've talked about, it almost sounds like it's sinister, when in fact it really is sinister. So if you're keeping track in your outline, we're now at point number one. So the source of the lie, and you need to understand this, the source of the lie about the mirror is Satan. Jesus called him the father of lies. He is the great deceiver. He comes to steal your identity. He wants you to believe those lies, just like those post-it notes on that wonderful song by Matthew West. And watch it again today or this week, because I guarantee you, some of you looked at some of those post-it notes and thought, yep, that's me. Yep, that's me. Loser. I had a lady came to my office for counseling. She came on a regular basis. And about the second or third time, she went like this. And I said, what are you doing? She said, well, that's who I am. I'm a loser. That's the letter L. In her mind, she's a loser. And we spent hours and hours and hours and hours working through this loser mentality. Satan tells you you're an addict, you're a failure, you're a loser, you're nothing, you're worthless, you are to blame, it's all your fault. You'll never amount to anything. That's the lie. That's the lie. John 10:10. We always quote John 10. We like to quote John 10:10, but we always quote the second half of the verse. Look at the first half of the verse. We have the whole verse. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they have it to the full or abundantly. We like that second half, but he's talking about Satan in the first half, and the comparison is that great. Jesus comes to give us life and identity in him, and Satan says, no, I'm going to steal it away. Satan only wants to destroy you and hurt you. Put you into depression, put you on more pills and more pills and more pills. God says you're not that. You're made in my image, and it was good. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And it goes on to say, and it was good. In fact, do you know the first time that God said it wasn't good? Do any of you know what the first time is? This is a Google question for you there, Miss Shirley. The first time in all of creation. You women ought to know this. No. What did he say? Yes, that's it. He said, he looked at man and he said, it's not good for man to live alone. So he created woman to be at man's side. Every bit of his creation was good. You were created good. Don't believe the lie. But the Satan is out there. Genesis 3:1. Look how crafty he is. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? And he says to you and me, did God really say that you're accepted? That you're a child of God? Did God really say that you're enough? Did God really say that you're beautiful or you're handsome? Did God really say you're a child of the one true King? You see, Satan plants those lies in our head every day, because he gets us to believing the lie. And so we go through life lacking confidence, living our lives in fear, feeling that we are unacceptable, rejected. It is all a lie, and it comes from Satan. Point number two, stop buying into the lie. Stop buying into the lie. We have to stop buying into the lie that says I have to look a certain way, that I won't be accepted or I won't get the job. Reality is that there are some places that won't hire me because of my weight or because of my age. Weight and age discrimination is out there, and that's a real thing. I can remember applying for a church when I was 53 years old, and I met with the pulpit committee, and I told them I hoped that every one of them was dyslexic, because I know that every pulpit committee wants a 35-year-old minister with 40 years of experience. But I was 53. They all laughed. And by the way, I did get the job. Don't buy the lie that says you're anything but a glorious child of God, or as Matthew West says, a child of the one true King. It's time to step out of the shame that accompanies the lie and stop covering it up, because when we walk in shame, Satan wins. You and I were made in God's image and are to be a reflection of Him. So quit looking in the mirror and hoping to see something different. Get out of the magazines. Put them down. They just feed the lie. Point number three. So you have to catch the little play on words here, okay? So here are some victorious secrets to live by. Number one, letter A, you have to know what God says. You have to know what God says. You need to put down those magazines and get into His Word every day. You need to know what He says about you, and how much He loves you, and what a wonderful person you are. A couple of weeks ago, we started with Ephesians 3, and we looked at verse 18, and I want to go back to that verse again. And it's in the middle of this tremendous prayer. that Paul has for the church in Ephesus. And he says, may you have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp. And remember I said about that word grasp. It means it's really the Greek word for rust, to go all the way to the core, to the bone, all the way through. That's how his love is, to go all the way through. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You are wonderfully made, and you need to know that, and you need to hear that. We also do it with the renewing of our mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to this pattern of this world, but be transformed. And here's how the transformation takes place. By the renewing of your mind, garbage in, garbage out. You put the Woman's Day and the Victoria's Secret and all those other glamour magazines in your head, that's what you're going to have. Put the Word of God in your head, life changes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to renew our minds daily by being in God's word. And then Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one, listen to these words, that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual warfare forces of the world rather than on Christ. We even had that verse in our Sunday school class this morning. No magazine cover, no bathroom scale, no mirror can hold you captive. So put the fitness magazines down, the fashion magazines down, and spend time in his word. This leads to our second victorious secret. You have to see you as God sees you. You have to see you as God sees you. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel is told by God that he needs to go to Bethlehem, and there he's going to find a man named Jesse, and Jesse has several sons, and one of those sons is the son that God has already picked to be the next king. And so he goes to Bethlehem, and he meets with Jesse, and they start bringing him out, the oldest to the youngest. And one by one, they keep coming out, and man, these guys are really good. They look like a king. And Samuel said, no, they look like it, but they're not there. That's not the one. That's not the one. And they go through all of them. And then we come to verse 11, 16:11. So he asked Jesse, are these all your sons? No, they're still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. And then they brought little David in. That's the one. The one who looked least like a king. The one who looked least like a king was the one that God had chosen to be the true king. We need to look at ourselves in that way, that God has chosen us for certain tasks. And when we do that, our confidence rises and our attitude changes. There's a great television show years ago, Sanford and Son. Y'all remember Sanford and Son, Fred and Lamont? Fred is always telling Lamont about his Aunt Esther. Remember what he said about Aunt Esther? He said, you always need to know that when it comes to Aunt Esther, beauty is skin deep, but ugly goes all the way to the bone. That's exactly what he said. You see, we have an Esther in the Bible too, and she was beautiful. But when you read the book of Esther, you find very little about her beauty. What you find out is about the core of Esther and her courage to save her people. You see, it isn't it what's on the outside that matters, it's what's on the inside that matters. Absalom in 2 Samuel is described as this handsome, beautiful man, the most amazing guy in the world. But inside, what was he? Deceitful, arrogant, violent, wicked. Obviously, his ugliness went all the way to the bone. Now we come to this tremendous passage. Matthew West even put it in his song. We sang it a few minutes ago. It's in 1 John 3, verse 1. Look at this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, exclamation point. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Those are exactly the words Matthew West wants to get into your brain. That you are a child of God. You're not all those post-it notes. God's love goes all the way to the bone, and what he sees is not a fake or a phony. He sees someone who's already accepted, secure, and significant. Whether you lose another pound or not, I love the story of the lady who told her husband for her birthday she wanted to be six again. So he did. He planned a special day. He took her to the park. They went on the swings. They went on the merry-go-round. They did all the rides. They had a great time. They went in the afternoon. They went to a movie, just like a six-year-old would do. And after dinner, he took her for ice cream, and they were having ice cream. She said, "This has been a wonderful, wonderful day. But what I really wanted to be was to be a size six." Whether you're a size six or a 16, God loves you. And when we learn to realize how God sees us, then we can put into practice the third victorious secret. And that is the secret to life, and that is to truly love. And so we come to point C. You have to love as God loves. You have to love as God loves. Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. You know what's preeminent in there is that if I don't love myself, I can't love my neighbor. Now, we're not talking about egotism. We're talking about a healthy view of yourself. So we need to love ourselves, and then we can love our neighbor and our coworker and our friend in the pew next to us, or the lady that takes our parking spot at the restaurant. We need to love as God loved, not by those who look good. It's easy to love those who might look good or who might have influence over us. But he says to love everyone. We're all born in the image of God. 1 John 5, 1 and 2. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you hear that? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. So we need to love. We need to love God's children just as we love God. Some of us will come out of here today and say, maybe the question is, who am I? That's not the right question. The right question is, whose am I? Whose am I? I am God's, and he is mine. I'm his child, imperfect. a mess sometimes, but he loves me. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. I want to read it in the message. I don't think it's up on the screen. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, think about this at our, some of us in our age, even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. That's far more here. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now, they will last forever. That's a perspective of life. You're a child of God. You are a child of God. I want to close with a very short video. We're going to sing a song called Redeemed. It's probably one of the most influential songs in the last 10 years. In fact, if you listen to Zach Williams, who sang Chain Breaker and several of the other songs that he has sung, Fear, He is a Liar, he tells you that the change in his life came the day in Louisiana that he sat in his truck and he listened to Big Daddy Weave sing the song Redeemed. And it completely changed his life from being a rock and roll band star to turning his life towards God. So Big Daddy Weave, he's a big guy. He's going to tell you in a minute and a half the story behind the song. Listen as he shares.
Hey, I'm Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave, and this is the story behind our song, Redeemed. I've struggled a lot in my life with the issues of personal acceptance and self-worth, and during a really low point in that struggle, I remember being down in my garage, which is kind of my man cave, the place where I do all my thinking and I work out down there, and it was like the Holy Spirit just invaded that space and said, Mike, why don't you let me tell you what I think about you? Why don't you let me share with you the way that I see you? And I was an absolute broken heap on the floor of my garage as the God of the universe began to show me in my heart and in my mind how he sees me and share with me the way that he feels about me. That changed something in my life that day. God redefined humility for me. I had always thought that humility was this self-deprecating thing, but God showed me that what real humility is simply agreeing with whatever he says about anything. And over my life as a child of God, as someone who has been ransomed by the blood of Jesus, when he looks at me, he says, redeemed.
So how does God really look at you? How does he look at me? I bet he looks at us differently than we look at ourselves in the mirror. Don't be mugged by the mirror. Don't have your identity stolen by Satan. Don't worry about whether you please or are acceptable to everyone on the planet. Because you're his child. And you need to know today, you're his child. We're going to sing that song, Redeemed. And if you want to come and accept Jesus for the first time, we want to invite you to do that. He wants to be your redeemer. Maybe you need to come and you just want to pray with.